Let's pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for tonight. Father God, I just ask that you would touch our hearts tonight, open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Father God, prepare us for what we're about to enter into our future, into our purpose and our plan that you have for our life. Help us, Father, to boldly enter in where you have called us to go. Give us courage and faith. Strengthen our faith, Lord God. I praise you and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we know that God has a plan for our life. In Psalm 33:11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart is to all generations." And in Jeremiah 29:11, and I like the way the Living Bible puts this, it says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we know that God has a plan for us. He's always had a plan for our life from the very beginning of time. He had a plan because he sent Jesus, which was his plan for us. But my question to you tonight is, do you have a plan? And so do you have a plan? And Proverbs 18:8, Living Bible, I like the way it puts it again. It says, "We should make plans, counting on God to direct us." And Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty." So praise God, we need to have plans. You know, and there's a scripture that talks about we make our plans, but God directs our steps. And that's often given with the connotation that God's just going to do whatever God wants to do. You can go ahead and make your plans, but God will just, you know, he's liable to mess up your plans really bad. You know. And I don't like that. I don't like that interpretation of that particular scripture, because I believe that God wants us to make a plan for our life. I believe that God directs our steps, in that if we make a plan that's not a good plan, that he'll direct us in a different direction, that because God's always got our best in mind. And I believe that, you know, that God gives us wisdom to make our plans. You know, we should make our plans, counting on God to direct us. This is the way that scripture should be looked at. Counting on God to direct us. But we still have to make a plan. We need to make a plan for our life. And my question to you tonight is, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan for your life? So in times of chaos, the person with a plan will prevail. In times of chaos, a person with a plan will prevail. And that is so true. I mean, many people will tell you, you know, that you should plan out your life. You should plan out every situation so that you'll know how to respond rather than react to whatever is happening in life. So first place I want us to go is 1 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. We're just going to take a real quick overview of these two particular scriptures, and because it's sort of talking about times of stress and times of trouble. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed." And he goes on here. Gordon touched on some of these scriptures today. But the whole thing that we're looking at here is that during times of stress and times of trouble, all kinds of doctrines will come at you, all kinds of ideas and plans. And we can see that even in our world today. All you have to do is turn on Christian television and you'll hear everybody having an idea and a plan of what they think that your life should be like, right down to what you should eat, where you should go, what you should do, who you should marry, and so on and so forth. And it's out there, and unfortunately, some of it's a little crazy. I mean, the church should be united and know what the word says. They should know. But what happens is that he is warning us here and telling us that all of this is going to happen to you. Now, he's talking to Timothy here 2,000 years ago. And even in those days, I'm sure that they had all of these doctrines that they were throwing out about what you should eat and what you, because you have to understand, these were Jewish people to start with, and he said nothing is unholy. Everything, every creature God has made is good. And so, but we know that the Jewish influence was coming into the Christian church, and they were saying you shouldn't be eating pork. And I'm not saying that you should eat pork or you shouldn't eat pork. It's entirely up to you. As long as you give thanksgiving to God, you do whatever you feel that is right in your heart. But just be led by the Lord. But I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you tonight is, have a plan. Have a plan of what you're going to do with your life. Make a plan. Decide what you're going to do before you're confronted with a situation and you don't know what to do. Make a plan of what to do. And so we look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's sort of the same thing that Paul, so it's telling me here that Timothy was dealing with a lot of stressful times because excuse me, in two different letters Paul was telling him, you know, but know this, that in the last days stressful times will come. So there must have been some stressful times for Timothy. He must have been having some real stressful times. Well, I don't know about you, but you look out in the world today, there's some stressful times out there. There's all kinds of things going on. For men were lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, boy, this sounds just like today, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into household and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, we have got to learn, but come to some kind of knowledge. It is good to learn. It is important to learn. But we have got to come to some kind of knowledge through that learning. You can't always be learning. I mean, you should always be learning. I don't mean it that way. You should always be learning. But you should, through your learning, be coming to some kind of knowledge and understanding. And, you know, when we don't plan to learn, we just float through. We're never learning. You know, we're always learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. That is so rampant in the church today, I believe, because we have people that are always teaching. We got teachers, 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 but people are not coming to the truth. I was recently at a funeral, and the pastor, he was a young man, and boy, he was a teacher if there ever was one. I mean, he's teaching at this funeral. He's teaching the Word of God. And I was a little shocked because I thought, you know, he would say more about this person who had passed. And yet he was teaching these people what the Word of God was saying. It strikes me that there were people there that heard this, but they didn't learn anything. They heard what he said, they knew it was from the scriptures, but they didn't come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, it is sad because there's people out there that are hearing and hearing and hearing, but never coming to that knowledge. So we must have a plan, because the person during the time of chaos who has a plan will prevail. He will prevail if you have. So we have to have a plan, and I believe God wants us to have a plan. Tomorrow's production begins with today's preparation. That it's so important for us to be prepared so that we know. And Gordon's sermon today was such a wonderful sermon because he talked about preparing. You know, I know his sermon's about wise, wide open, and not being deceived, but this is all about preparing you, because there's deception in the world. There are people out there who are trying to deceive you. They're always trying to deceive us. They warp everything, you know, all things out there are being warped about what is being said, what you're hearing. And you have got to have a plan of how you're going to deal with this. Whether you're simply going to believe it, take them at their word, or you're going to know the truth for yourself. And so we have to make a plan. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to give you a couple little steps tonight. And this is not a plan. This is a plan for you to build a foundation. Because foundations, I think that the thing, I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks. And I think what God is doing, and it's almost an unspoken thing that's being said, but God is building foundation in his people. He's wanting us to shore up our foundations. So because there is a shaking. There's a shaking going on now, but there is more of a shaking coming. And so he is shoring up and telling us to shore up our foundations, build those foundations strong. And he's simply telling us we've got to know what we believe and why we believe it. And you can hear it in the underlying message of everybody you're hearing right now and the things that they're saying. They're telling you, get yourself on a strong, sure foundation and know who you are. And so tonight, I just want to give you a little bit of a support for your foundation. I'm not going to tell you what your plan is. You're going to have to make your own plan. But I'm going to give you some ideas about how to shore up your foundation to make a plan for your life. Because we all need to make a plan for our life. So let's make a plan. Number one, the first thing we need to do in order to shore up our foundation and to make a plan, let's look at 2 Chronicles 15. Second Chronicles chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obadiah, whatever. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And then let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 8. The first thing we need to do in making our plan is to get closer to God. And James 4 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." 4:8, James 4:8. We need to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. And we know that. We probably have all quoted it. We probably all thought about it. About, you know, I know that if I draw near to God, that he'll draw near to me. But do we do it? Do you do it? You know, there is never a time or a person that is close enough to God. No matter who you are not close enough to God. Now, there are some people who think that God is too close to them. You know, they don't want anything else, you know, that God's got. That's enough. But we are never too close to God. So when he says here to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, it's a command for us to draw near to God. We can never get too close to God. You're not going to fry. You're not going to sizzle. You're not going to die when you draw near to God. But I'll tell you one thing, it will happen. Is your foundation will shore up the closer we get to God. Because when we make a plan, make your plan to draw near to God. And if we learn now to draw near to God in times of chaos, we won't be running around like Chicken Little. Because in times of chaos, you say, "Well, I know how to get in touch with God." Well, that's really good that you know how to get in contact with God and you know how to draw near to God. But when chaos is all around and confusion and violence is all about you, where will your mind go to? Do you hope it will be to God? Or do you know it will be to God? So that's why we draw near to God now, so that in times of chaos, in times of stress, there's no doubt your mind will go right to God. You'll draw near to him. You'll know what he wants. Because in Chronicles there, it said, if you draw near to him, you know, if you go close, if you draw to God, he'll come to you. You know, he won't forsake you unless you forsake him. And how many times do we see the Israelites do this? The Hebrew people, they draw near to God, they call on God, and God would come. And then they would forsake God, and God, you know, they'd push him away. And, you know, one of the things that we can learn from that is God is so faithful, and he is so wonderful that no matter how many times that they forsook God, when they would call to God, he would answer them, and he would come to them. And he's that same faithful God today, that if we'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Isn't that good to know? I mean, it's so satisfying in my soul to know that God won't say, well, he's not like me. Let's put this way. You haven't talked to me for a couple weeks. Well, forget it. I'm not going to answer the phone. I just won't talk to you. When I feel like it, when I get ready, I'll talk to you. But until then, I don't have to answer the phone. I don't have to talk to you. You know, whenever I feel it. God is not like that. God will answer us when we call. He always will. He'll never forsake us, and he will never leave us. So we need to learn to draw near to God. We not only need to learn, we need to do it. We just need to draw near to God on an every day, every hour basis of drawing near to God. Learn how to draw near to God, and then it'll just be a natural thing that you will do. Make a plan to do that. Make a plan. Decide that I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to pull myself up to him so close that he won't ignore me, even if I deserve it. He wouldn't even think about it. But we need to draw near to God. Let's make that decision that we will draw near to God so that in that time of chaos, that'll be the first thing you'll think about. You know, when you see the chaos, you'll know what to do, because God will be so close. You'll hear his voice. I know even there's times that I hear God's voice very, very clearly. And then there's other times when it's just like, was that God? But if I will draw, if I make a plan today to draw close to God, I won't have that doubt of, was that God? Was that him? Is that really what he wanted? Was that him speaking? I'll know if it was God. So praise God. We're going to draw near to God. Amen? Number two, the next thing we need to do to make a plan is to study the Word of God. Study the Word. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the way I always learn this verse. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. That, to me, that's so much more simpler. But study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. And this is the way the Living Bible puts it, and I really like this. It says, know what his word says and means. So we need to study the word of God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. It says, my word, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's the study of the word of God. You know, we read the word, but we need to study the word. We need to study it and know what it means. So many times, you know, in the past years, I feel like at times it's just like, I need to just read the Word of God to do my duty because it's the right thing to do. So you just read it, you know, and you hear people say, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. And I think that that's wonderful that you're reading through the Bible in a year. I think that's a great thing to do. And honestly, when we had the New Testament tapes that we were all listening to, I saw such growth in my family with that. It was the neatest thing because all we did was listen to it because, you know, the Word of God comes into you and it will change you regardless of how you hear it. Or when you hear it, or the way you hear it, it will change your life. But we need to not just read the Word, we need to study the Word so that we know what it says and what it's done, what it's doing in our life. He says here, my son, receive my words and treasure my commands within you. That's a little different than just reading through. You know, there's a proverb for every day, but most of them, and I've read those many times, one a day, you know, because it was the right thing to do. But, you know, it's just like, but if I study those, he says, receive those, treasure them, and incline my ear to wisdom. You can't incline to wisdom unless you study, and that's the only way you can get that. And then apply it to your heart, and you get understanding. Applying it to the Word of God to our heart is a study of the Word of God. It's a study. And he says, and if you cry for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, you know, it'll come to you. It'll be like silver to you and hidden treasure. And you'll have understanding, and the fear of the knowledge of God will come. And in that fear of the knowledge of God will come. And because you've studied the Word of God, we've got to plan to study the Word of God. Because if we don't make a plan, we'll just read through. Reading through is good, but studying is where we will get knowledge, we'll get wisdom, we'll get treasures, we'll have a fear of the Lord, and we'll get a knowledge of God. And we need all of those things in our life. Amen. Let's turn over to John. Let's start at chapter 15. Now, these are just a little bit different way to look at these scriptures in the study of the Word of God. But in chapter 15, verse 3, let's start there. And Jesus says to them, you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He's talking about studying here. He's not just talking about, you know, he says you're clean because you've heard me, but you need to go a little further than just being clean. You know, you need to abide. You need to be attached to the branch. You need to be attached to the vine, he's saying here. And that's a little bit more than just hearing the Word of God. Abiding is more than just hearing. Abiding is receiving that truth into your life, studying and understanding, mulling it over, and letting it affect your life. That's what a study will do to you. And so when we hear this, we just think about, yes, we are branches and we've received Jesus and that's good. We're going to bear fruit. That, you know, it's more than that, and it needs to be more than that. Let's go to John 10. John 10, 4 and 5. Jesus again says, and when he brings out his own sheep and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Well, how do you know that you don't know the voice of a stranger? You don't know that you don't know the voice of a stranger unless you are abiding in the vine, unless you've received the word, because the word is what, you know, is so rare that you're going to audibly hear the voice of God. And do you know that God rarely will speak to you what the scriptures say if you do not know what the scriptures say? Because that'll only bring confusion to you. So he said, what we have to do is we have to know what the Word of God says so that we can abide in him, so we can follow him, and that we will not follow the voice of a stranger. Because otherwise, when times of chaos come, times of stress, there's lots of voices out there yelling. And some of them sound really convincing. Believe me, some of them I'll listen to and say, wow, that sounds right. And then with further study of the Word, it's just like, that is not right. Even some of these old sayings that people have, you know, like cleanliness is next to godliness and God helps those who help themselves. Those are wonderful sayings, but they're not in the Word. But people preach them like they are. I mean, they might not preach them, but you know, you've heard families say these things. And those are all good things. But in times of stress, cleanliness is not going to help me. You know? And in times of stress, I may need someone else to help me. And if you're thinking God helps those who help themselves, and I'm in trouble, you're not going to help me. You know, because you're helping yourself. And likewise, you know? So we know that that's not scripture, but it sounds really good. But we've got to know what is really the truth and what is not the truth. And that only comes by the study of the Word. Because like I said, I've read the Psalms, I've read through those scriptures, read the whole Bible. And yet, to tell you the truth, most of it, I can't honestly tell you what it says word for word because I've not studied each little. And how many times have we read something? We've read it 100 times and we go back that one time and it's just like, wow, does that say that? That is neat. Even this verse here, this verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger. Well, I've read that verse before, but it's just like, they will by no means follow a stranger. I mean, this is pretty strong language. You know, and I've always interpreted that, you know, we'll know his voice and we'll not follow the voice of a stranger. Well, that's not, it says that, but he says this in a real emphatic, by no means will they follow. You know, this is stronger than we just won't follow the voice of a stranger. So, you know, how many times have we read stuff and we're like, wow, I don't remember that being like that. That's because we didn't study it. And so we need to study the Word of God. Let's turn to chapter 8. And Gordon used this scripture today, and I thought, that is so good. Verse 8, chapter 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How can we be free? Not by reading the Word of God, although that will help, but a study of the Word of God is the thing that will make you free. When you know that you know that you know what the Word of God says, and that comes by study of the Word, then you'll know that you are free. Isn't that nice to know that you can know that you're free? Because he has set us free. Amen? Because we know the truth. You know, sometimes we don't know the truth of the Word. We think we know what the Word. How many of you have done this? You got this phrase in your mind, and you know it's scripture, and you've done everything you can do to find that in the Bible, and you've gone to every concordance, every translation, and you cannot find it. Because you did. It was a truth that you didn't know. It's a truth that you thought you knew, but you really did not know. So you can't be freed by that truth because it's not really the truth. It was a statement, but it wasn't really a truth. But the truth will make us free. Amen. So we need, in our plan, we need to get close to God and to study the Word of God. And the third thing that we need to do is to share our faith. As we share our faith, let's look at Mark 16. We're going to start there. Mark chapter 16. Sharing our faith is so important. So important. You know, it's very intimidating to share your faith or what you believe, you know, or truth of the word, or what you know about God. Even that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And you get around people that you know don't believe this, or you get around people that just don't know about that, and you're not feeling really well, but you spew out, by his stripes I'm healed, and you feel so uncomfortable doing that. You know, and I have found over the last year or so, and it's just like, I'll throw statements out. Another one that is really talking about demons. And the world has this idea that these demons, I don't know if you watch any of these supernatural shows or any of these, Twilight and things like that. They're movies, they're about vampires and all, and how these demons and angels, and they take on human bodies, and media has so mystified and glorified these people that it makes them sweet and nice or really bad and evil, but in the end, you know, sweet and nice always prevails, or almost always prevails anyway. And so it's really corny. I mean, you know, and I can watch a little bit of that, and I just kind of laugh it off and think, oh, if people only knew the truth, or how hokey is this? And I try not to watch too much of it because I don't want it to get into my thoughts and my beings, you know, so I try not to watch too much of it. But every once in a while, you know, I have kids that'll say, Grandma, or did you see? And it's just like, no, I've never watched it. And they'll say, oh, you should watch it. It's really good. Okay, I'll watch it this one time just to see what it is. But when you really start talking about demons to just normal people that are around you, sometimes you get that look of like, ooh, they're really weird, you know. And the first time you throw it out there in their presence, you know, and you're just like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? You know, they're just like, they're looking at you like, oh no, she is such a radical, you know, she's so crazy with this Christian stuff. She's really going too far now. And they give you that weird look. But, you know, if you share stuff that you know is the truth and you stand firm on what you know is true, eventually they'll recognize that you are not the crazy that you sounded like to them, and that you do know what you're talking about. And they will catch on, and before long, and it may take months, but they'll begin to start talking just like you. And they'll have recognition and an understanding of good and evil, and that there is a difference in the world. I'm seeing this in my family, and it's amazing, because it's just like, at first when I threw some of this stuff out, and it was like, oh God, help me, you know, and it's just like, I just said that, and I know they're probably thinking I am so totally out of this world nuts. And yet, you know, if I don't back down, and then I just keep introducing this, after a while it's just like, they start talking to me about good and evil, in God and the devil. And you know, because there's this commercial for this horrible movie on TV, and this guy says, the devil is real whether you believe it or not. That's one of the lines in this movie. He is real whether you believe it, and it's the truth. He is real whether you believe it or not, and whether people out there believe it or not, the devil is real. And so we need to share our faith. We need to share with people the Word of God and what it says. Because if we don't, they'll never be changed. So let's look at Mark 16, get a start here about sharing our faith. In Mark 16:15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly, and by no means will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Share your faith. Share the gospel with people They've got to hear to believe. They've got to hear about this message. They've got to hear that they can be saved. They've got to hear. And unless we share our faith, the signs will not follow our faith. But when we share our faith, the signs will follow. But people have got to hear what God is saying. So we need to share our faith. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 again. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 2. Start at verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside by fables. You know, we've got to preach the word. We've got to. And I'm not saying you need to stand up in the pulpit and you don't have to jump up on the table and pound your fist and scream and holler and tell people they're going to hell. But we got to tell them the truth. You know, sometimes our families are the hardest people to talk to about Jesus. Sometimes our family are the hardest ones to express things to that we know is true. You know, it's hard even sometimes to just pray for our family openly. I mean, there's still even times to this day that I struggle with, should I pray, you know, because the kids will call and say, Mom, I need prayer for this, or so-and-so needs prayer, or, you know, and they'll call me knowing that we pray and we get good results here when we pray. And I'll be thinking in my head, should I pray? Should I pray for them before I get off the phone? And yet I need to do that. But that, because that's part of sharing my faith. That's part of sharing the word with them. But sometimes our families are the hardest to touch, but sometimes they're the easiest to reach. But we fail to reach them. When we don't touch our children with the gospel, we are breaking a link in the chain that God wants to continue. Our children are our best heritage. They are our best, you know, examples of our life in our faith, is that our children will continue in the faith and to be and to do what God wants us to do. But it won't happen unless we share our faith with them. You know, how, you know, my kids got to be my guinea pig. When they were sick, I prayed for them, you know, and then the poor little kids, they would go out and they would tell people stuff, and it was the truth. And yet, you know, and the people would say, well, that's stupid. You know, that's crazy. I mean, you know, I remember one time one of them told them about praying in the Holy Ghost. And they said, that's of the devil. I mean, how do you tell a 6 or 7 year old that's of the devil? And your mother's doing it, you know? This is what they said. This was an adult that said this to them. So, but, you know, there's persecution, but we will overcome. But we have, even in the midst of persecution, we have to share our faith. We have to, with people all around us. Don't shrink back from prayer for people. That is one of the best ways to share your faith, that you're just believing God. But then also, don't forget to share with them about Jesus and tell them what the Word says. It's really, it's hard, but it's important. It's one of those, we've got to learn to do that. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to try to go a little quicker here. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You know, the gospel is the power of God. It's the power of salvation. It is the power that will draw people out of darkness into light. The gospel, which is our faith, is what we believe in Jesus, is the thing that will draw people out of darkness. You know, and then in Romans 10, verse 4, we can connect with this particular scripture there, that it is the power of God. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things. How can they know? How can they be saved if they have not heard? How can they call on him if they have not if they don't believe? How can they believe if they have not heard? We can't make them believe, but they can't believe unless they've heard. We cannot make people believe in Jesus. You can't do it. But they can't believe unless they hear. And they're only going to hear when we tell them. But we have to make a plan. We have to make a decision in our own life that we're going to step out in this area of faith and talk about Jesus. Because unless you make the plan, when you are confronted with the situation, you will always slide back. You will never go forward if you do not have a plan that you are going to share your faith. If you don't have it already decided in your life that you're going to tell them about Jesus, that you're going to pray for them if they ask for prayer, that you're going to speak the truth, what the scripture says about that situation. If you don't already have it settled in your heart, in your life, when confronted with that situation, you won't do it. We always slide back, always. Unless you make the decision that you're going to go forward, it's the same in everything you do in life. If you don't have a plan already decided, if you don't already have a purpose in mind, when confronted with the situation that combats against you, you will always slide back. You will always retreat every time because you've not made a decision. So make the plan. Make a decision in your life. I'm going to share Jesus. I'm not going to hold back. Because how can they believe if they have not heard? Amen? Yes. Amen. The fourth thing we have to do in making our plan is to grow in love. And this is in this area. It's almost like this is the one you should start with to grow in love. But yet in the same token, if you haven't made a plan to do all those other things, you probably are not going to grow in love. But you need to grow in love because it's really, really important to have the love of God in your heart, in your life. And y'all think, and I know this because I you're human. You're just like me. I am human. And love is a wonderful thing. Especially like for husband and wife and moms and with their children and moms and dads and their children, there's that love, that part of you that extends into this other person. But generally speaking, love is not there. Love is a seed that has to grow. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes we have this idea that because we're born again, we have the love of God in us. You do to a degree, but it is something that you have to learn to grow in. And when you start to look at the love of God and how the magnanimous of it, the awesomeness of God's love, it will astound you. It will just overtake you and it will take you to heights that you don't know when you begin to let that love in you. Now, it may never change your personality, but it will grow and will push out everything other than that love that's in you. And so we have to learn how to grow in the love of God. It's so important because in a time, and it's another thing, that if you don't plan to do it, it doesn't just happen. I mean, there are some things in our Christian walk that just happen to us, and that's wonderful, that God has blessed us because he's a blesser, because he's so good to us, because he's just promised these things to us that just happened to us because of his grace and his mercy. But love is one of those things that you have to decide that you're going to learn about and that you're going to do. Because, and even not learning to do, because if you learn about the love of God, it'll just happen. That is where the automatic thing happens. But you have to learn about the love of God in order for it to do its work in you. That's how that works. So we have to make that plan that we're going to grow in love. We're going to grow in it. And I'm just going to give you a couple scriptures, and you write these down, and we're not going to look them up. I'm just going to read them off to you here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, says, love never fails. In Proverbs 10:12, it says, love covers all sin. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, says, God is love. Whew. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, it says, love edifies. In John 15:9-13, Jesus tells us to love one another. So love is very important, but you have to make a decision that you are going to love. Let's turn to Proverbs 27. So love is the fourth thing that we have to plan to do in our life. Because all of these areas these are just a couple areas, because I just picked out 4, 5, 6 here that work, you know, that speak to a certain situation, that God is love, and love covers sin, and, you know, that we should love one another. So it's really important for us to make a plan, make a decision in life that you're going to learn about love. Because love, we just think it's sort of like forgiveness, it just happens, and it doesn't. Forgiveness is a decision, and love is the same thing. It's a decision that you make that you're going to do. Okay, so Proverbs, let's look at Proverbs 27 and verse 23. We're going to start there. We're going to make a plan for our life. He says here, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herd, for your riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure for all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of the field, and you shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. I think what he's saying here is you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. In order to have a plan, he says here, you got to know the state of your flock. So you got to know about your life. You got to know what you need. You got to know what you're looking at. Know the state of your life. Know how much of a plan you really need. Some may need more of a plan than others. Some of y'all may have a plan and you're just not working your plan, or maybe you have a plan and you are working your plan. You know, but he says here, know the state of your flocks and attend to that. You know, make the plan, he says, attend to your herds, for riches do not endure forever and a crown does not endure for all generation. And because when chaos comes and the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the field are gathered in, he says, when you have a plan, he says, then your lambs will provide clothing for you, and the goats will be a price for the field, and the milk will be for your food and for the food of your household. But if you don't have a plan, if you don't know what your herd is like, if you don't know what you have, when the times of chaos come, you know, when the herbs die and the grass dies on the field, you won't have any of those things. You'll be going to the neighbor and saying, I need bread, can you help me? I need help, can you help me in the time of chaos? So we have to have a plan. You have to know the state of your herds. You have to know where you are in your life. You have to know what your position is. And it's hard sometimes to take a real good look at ourselves and to say, what's my plan? What would I do in this situation? What am I going to do in that situation? How am I going to handle this if this comes? What am I going to do with confronted with this situation? You need to know. You need to make a plan, because God says you need to have a plan. He says you need to know the state of your herd. You need to know what's going on in your own life. Many of us just want to close our eyes and pretend that we don't see. And we just think, well, God will provide. God will take care of me. He said he'd take care of me, so God will take care of me. Well, let me tell you something. When we read there in Proverbs, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. I'd rather have the plenty than just provision to get by. I'd rather have the more than the less. And it's all in a matter of whether we've planned or we haven't. What is the plan for your life? So if we plan to get closer to God, you know, if we plan to know the Word, if we make a plan to love and to share our faith, you'll be stronger in those areas. And then you can, you know, then the rest of the plan will fall in place because you're right with God, because you're stable on your foundation. And then you can securely say, well, when chaos comes, God will take care of me. Because how many times have people said, God will take care of me, and that's all they knew, and God didn't take care of them. And that wasn't God's fault. It was not God's fault that they were not cared for. It was because they did not know His Word. They didn't know, they didn't have an understanding, and they didn't have the wisdom that they needed. They didn't cry out in the right time. God's hands were tied, and He couldn't help them. Or what help He could get to them might have been little. Know the state of your herd. Know where you stand. And then make a plan to get better, because we can all grow and get better. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father God. We thank you first, Father, that you have a plan for us. But we thank you also, Father God, that we can make a plan for our life. We can get closer to you. We can never get too close. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you, Father, that your word will bring us truth. And the truth will set us free. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, that we, everyone in this room, has an opportunity to share your word. We have opportunities to tell the truth about Jesus. We have the opportunity to share our faith so that others can believe. Oh, Father, we worship you and thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that we have that seed of love in our life, that it can grow and make us stronger. Father, reveal to each one of us what your plan is for us, and help us and lead us and guide us as we make our plan for our life, that we could be stronger in who we are, directed by you, Lord. Because that's what we need, Lord. We need to know who we are in ourselves. We need to know the state of our herds, so that when times of trouble come, we will be on a strong foundation. We praise you and we thank you for it, God. Father, I ask that you bless everybody here tonight, because you are a God of blessing. And so I ask for a blessing for everyone here tonight, Lord God. We receive it and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.